Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today, we want to continue our study of understanding the foundations of possessing our inheritance. And today's topic will be part four of new supply and new provision in the days ahead as we grow closer to the Lord and when we allow the dew of heaven to water us into this season that we are in and walking into in the season ahead. And we're glad to be back on Facebook. I do not know what happened there. Yesterday, Facebook just wasn't allowing us in the morning to be able to broadcast to the group, but we're back. And that's why it's important to follow us on our other channels so that we, when something does happen, and it does a lot of times with Facebook and YouTube, we'll be able to, we're still out there. We're still going to go as normal. It's just blocked from different locations. But with that, I want to dive into scripture here of looking at the how the refreshing dew of the Lord can uncover this new supply and new provision. And we see in Genesis 27, the story of Jacob and Esau and the birthright and Isaac and the story of there, how the birthright came about. And really want to look at not just that whole story, but two key verses throughout this story that talk about the dew of heaven, that specific line there. So verse 28 in Genesis 27 says, now, and this is Isaac giving his blessing, or this is Jacob giving his blessing to Isaac. And he says here, now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and of an abundance of grain and new wine. Basically, the Holy Spirit will pour out, your not only your heavenly prosperity, but your earthly prosperity and provision that he needs. But then I want to go to verse 39. And I want to highlight in the New American Standard, it talks about the title for this passage of scripture talks about in the prayer over Esau is this talks about the stolen blessing. And then we go all the way down to verse 39. It says, then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, and this is going through after Isaac realizes, oh no, I actually prayed over Jacob, not Esau, thinking that it was Esau. And he goes on to say, he says, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By the sword you shall live, and your brother shall you serve. And it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. And it's looking at that phrase again, the dew of heaven. You know, Jacob is given the blessing of the dew of heaven. Esau is really being cursed here from the dew of heaven because he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And we're seeing here that Isaac has equated here even that the dew of heaven to the material prosperity that Jacob would receive. And like rain, dew in the biblical times was regarded as a gift bringing good harvest and providing food, as we see throughout Israel's time in the wilderness, of how the manna would come as a dew in the morning, and then that would provide them the nutrition that they would need. And Chuck ends up saying this is, dew therefore can symbolize supply and provision new every morning. And as we follow the Lord's leading, his dew will also rain down new supply and provision in our lives, just as it did for the children of Israel. And so as we're seeing the possessing our inheritance again, this is just a general overview. He has a whole book. He goes into complete depth about this. but about how as we get in this quiet place with the Lord throughout our day and reordering our day, the Lord can refresh us, can bring about a new face to us in the Spirit, can provide us strength to move forward, impart overcoming power. And now today we see it uncovers a new supply and provision for us as we walk out the Lord's destiny of our lives. So with that, I want to go ahead and look at some things in the news. Some interesting things have happened. Some things you just kind of need to wait and see. A few things we just need to wait and see and pray and see what the Lord's really doing here. And some things positive, good things to be aware of, and also understand that there are some continued battlegrounds. First is out of England last night and really this morning is that Prime Minister Boris Johnson has resigned and stepped down after losing trust of his own party and people within his own parliament and administration who worked under him. And there were scandals and things involved because he's not a perfect man. And some people are saying, oh, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. Look, he did his job. He got him out of, or at least further down the road along the lines of Brexit, which is kind of what he campaigned on. And his time for that was over, and he didn't want to ruin the party, the conservative party that he's a part of. So he's saying, hey, I'll step down. You guys figure out who you want to put up. And now, they're going to do that. And so it's kind of admirable of him to do that. Now we'll see. He's not perfect, but you know what? God had him in there for a season and a reason. And I heard Dutch recently talk about how the Lord's administratively around the world is shifting. And this goes back, shifting, you know, the pieces on the board. This goes back to what Chuck prophesied really at the beginning of COVID and even during COVID about how the Lord's reshuffling the board. So, and then you saw people move around, myself included, other ministers move around. People are, and that the fallout of that is still kind of happening. It's not completely over with there. And so now you're seeing it at a higher level, which is quite interesting. So we're seeing these moves be made. As far as our administration goes, we'll see how what they come out and say about this. But at the end of the day, is our relationship there is somewhat decent. But I want to point some things out internationally for our administration. And the reason I want to point them out is today we talked about it a little bit yesterday, is Anthony Blinken will be in Bali, Indonesia, meeting with the G20 summit and an official meeting with Chinese foreign minister, and no actual official meeting or planned meeting or trying to plan a meeting with Russian foreign minister Sergey Lavrov, as Russia is at these meetings, and a lot of these meetings are about sanctions and things on China and Russia, trade with Russia, and trying to figure out, you know, play God here in these aspects and make decisions. But I want to point these two just kind of double-sided news stories that I think is very, very alarming, and why we want to pray for Anthony Blinken to have a discerning ear, but then also to be able to have a voice within this administration, as this administration has tried and has muzzled him to some points, and we have prophetic on that. So we're seeing now this out of Politico that Biden and the administration is preparing to reshape Trump's tariffs on China and really pull back tariffs and make it easier for more, as this is not the first time the Biden administration has pull more tariffs back, lowering the costs of goods coming from China. To quote unquote help the American economy, and really they're just undoing everything Trump did, which is disastrous. And so you're seeing these actions being made by the administration. Then you have, and this is just quite amazing, you have FBI Director Christopher Wray, and MI6 directors come out together and make a joint statement and say that the Chinese Communist Party is a threat to the world. And what a shocker. that they're finally realizing this. They also talk about how North Korea is a cybersecurity threat, and you know the world basically needs to apply pressure on them so that they don't continue to gain power and gain resources to become even more of a threat to the world and freedom throughout the world. Again, we have to point this out because this shows the just double-mindedness, and it's good at least now, okay, that they're realizing this. You know, maybe they're not swallowing their pride, and they're kind of like, look, we're the first ones leading this. Let's back off on this. There's people within the government, within the Pentagon, who are saying, have been saying this stuff for quite a while now. And there are people behind closed doors. They know the threat. This is just them finally realizing it publicly that this is the reality. And so we want to, as this is going on, this double-mindedness publicly from the administration, that actions that they're making, and then statements from now Christopher Wray, the FBI director, is we want to pray for Blinken while he's there in these meetings to have wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit and discerning what steps to advise and what steps this administration should take regarding Russia and China, and obviously a host of other issues in Israel, as well as Biden prepares to go to Israel. But as he's in these meetings, this will be the two hot topics, as these are what, and there are a host of other conversations that they'll be having, but this will be the hot topic of what nations, not only America, should be taking, but the rest as well, as there are still other nations that are bordering and close to the United States that are trying to stay on the good side of Russia and China, because they see the world as possibly teetering either way, and they're going to hedge their bets. But this administration still has decisions to make on what to do, and obviously with the relationship that the Biden family has and most Democrats have with China, it's quite alarming to see the walking out of those relationships and the effects of that. And look, is we as Americans and Christians and believers can say, okay, well, you know, Democrats have this relationship with the Chinese party, but are we involved with them? Are we praying for them? Are we being in relationship with them? It's kind of another aspect to just, well, to heck with them, let them do their thing. Is no, we need to continue to pray for them, continue to be in relationship with them, be involved, talk to them, show them what the love of the Father is, keeping our emotions in check and being able to stand up and speak the word of the Lord to them in a very poignant way, and to get across to them and to reach them, because they're ultimately the decision makers and people who have the ability to make decisions. Also, on the border issue, I have to talk about this as this stuff becomes more understood as decisions are being made by this administration. The Washington Times has reported, and the foreign desk of the Federalist is talking about how the Biden, and reporting this, how the Biden administration is basically doing a don't ask, don't tell from illegal immigrants who have even been deported, to be able to come back to the United States after being deported and seek U.S. citizenship. And they could have been deported, been here in the United States, not been in the United States. And that's why I said it's a don't ask, don't tell for illegal immigrants to be able to gain U.S. citizenship or apply for U.S. citizenship here in America. And this just is a disaster. Because somebody could have been deported for whatever reason, they could come back and, you know, there's a waiting period that they had to wait, and now it's no longer here. I'll put this article in the link below, but just I just highlight the gist of it. And it's, there are those who have been involved who are quite alarmed at this in trying to understand why the administration would do this. And ultimately, they want to change the voting block, as you're seeing, you know, people shift from Democrat to Republican because they're tired of these disastrous policies that literally hurt their pocketbook and ultimate security of the nation. So we want to continue to repent for the Biden administration's actions to weaken our border security, the sovereignty of this nation, and intercede for a voice with the fear of the Lord to arise in the White House, someone who has the fear of the Lord to speak up, to say something to this administration, to even just to speak up for the next administration, whoever it may be, to stand up and to say, hey, enough's enough. We can't go along with this. And look, they can be there now. They can start understanding how things are being done so that we can, you know, the next administration can know what they need to do to go back and backfill and make sure that there is border security, to make sure that there is, because there's a host of things that they're doing, as we're learning now with this report that the the Washington Times is reporting. There's things that whoever's in the next administration has to understand of what did they actually do, so you can go back and figure it out. Because that was the biggest issue with the Trump administration is, you know, he had never been involved in government. Most of the people he brought in had never been involved in government. They didn't really understand, and I think we as Americans don't fully understand still, how deep the swamp really went and goes. I mean, Chuck talked about how in April, was it 2019, about how you were sawing the swamp waters supernaturally. He saw it in a vision where it lowered and you just saw another layer of thicker roots. And so I think, you know, as the swamp continues to, you know, quote unquote drain in the spiritual and in the natural, is I think we're learning how deep this really goes. And so we need somebody who understands this for future administrations to realize, okay, this is what's actually going on. Let's put things back in place to increase border security, but also the integrity of the sovereignty of our nation for the future as well. We have to point this out and understand what's going on with this administration, some moves they're making. So they just announced yesterday the 15th operation of Fly Baby formula to the United States from, in this case, the UK, England, as they're announcing a facilitation of air shipments of over 3.1 million 8-ounce bottle equivalents of Kendamil infant formula from July 17th and the 22nd. And there was a 14th operation fly the day before. Just want to point this out because this is what they're focusing on right now, this administration. Not about opening up the formula facilities here in America, just, hey, we're going to get it in here. Meanwhile, why did the FDA shut it down? What's going on? Like, there's a host of issues concerning theirs, which just want to be aware of this. On what the administration's doing. Now, I want to shift towards some things that are not so administration and some things we need to pray on here in the days ahead and really be aware of. So the big news for those within the conservative Christian movement is that these guidestones out of Northeast Georgia suddenly burst, whether it be an explosion or an act of God is still yet to be determined, and people are praising it and yaha, getting excited. And we've looked at this and we were talking about it last night. And there are some troubling things that it concerns and it stands for. As I'll point this story up here from the Daily Wire talking about it. But the interesting thing is that there's still an investigation, and this is what we want to say. We want to say, let's before we, you know, celebrate or get excited and or get sad or what, however we feel about this, we're kind of cautious because there's two issues here. How did it get destroyed initially? Was it illegally done and blown up without proper authority, not only in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm? Or was it an act of God which caused it to be destroyed? And the issue at play is there is a candidate for the gubernatorial primary, a governor of Georgia, a Republican candidate, Candace Taylor, who talked about how she would do an executive order to pull it down. And she ended up going on and tweeting, says, God is God all by himself. He can do anything he wants to do. That includes striking down satanic guidestones. And what we want to say is let's wait for the investigation to be done. Because if it was an act of God, hallelujah, you know, he pulled it down. If it was done by someone illegally in the spiritual realm, in the natural realm, and they're Clay and Tate and other people have been talking about this, Dutch, that this could cause a problem in the courts of heaven, because if you've gone and done something in the natural and in the spiritual without authority from the Father, from the courts of heaven, then you're now reestablished. The enemy here is able to reestablish and really strengthen its stronghold of this agenda over America and the world. And so we want to be very cautious as we determine and wait to hear what the true reasoning as to why it happened. Hopefully it was an act of God. That would just be completely amazing. It could also possibly be a leftist group acting as a conservative group because of this gubernatorial candidate. And so there's a lot of things at play here, a lot of things to be cautious about, and let's not rush to judgment and say woohoo about something that it's still the truth about it and what really happened is yet to come play out, because, okay, it's down now because construction crews pulled it down. But how was it initially demolished, per se? Was it done via a legal act, an act of God, or was it done via an illegal act and causing problems not only in the natural but the spiritual as well? That's a point of caution there. And then there's more reports now. We have to talk about this, as you know, calls for gun control are going to continue to arise. But the question of, did marijuana reefer drive the Highland Park parade killer to psychosis, madness? And this article from the New York Post talks about how marijuana alone wasn't the thing that caused him to do this, but what marijuana did was it removed the emotional boundary that would have been there if his natural emotions would have been there of humanity. And because of the high concentrations of THC and the massive, copious amounts of weed that this gentleman, and really child at the time he started smoking, was doing and taking and smoking and inhaling, that it caused his brain to, and this is an opinion from this author, Miranda Devine, who says that it really would have scrambled his brain and the other brains of the other shooters. This is what's not being talked about, is most of the other shooters, the Uvalde, the Dayton, Ohio, Parkland, and Aurora, were all known stoners from their community, and there's other problems involved there. But we've been talking about it before, about how weed and marijuana create psychosis creates these violent acts, unfortunately. And this is something to pay attention to as more, and the country itself is diving headlong into this just open arms of marijuana and legalizing it. There's a report I read one time where Colorado, after they legalized it, I think 94% increase in violent crimes and drunk driving or high driving and stuff like that started to increase in Colorado. So there are problems involved there, and something as kind of laying the foundation of understanding what lies ahead if we go down this road, something to be very precautious about. Okay, on a good note is, there are 20 states that are using legislation to ban what is called Zuck Bucks from elections, which is, this is great. There need to be more, as the Zuck Bucks, where Zuckerberg's Center for Technology and Civic Life would donate money to state and local elections. This happened in 45 different states, quite alarming, DC involved, that quote unquote helped simplify the mail-in balloting process. And these 20 states are using legislation to block that and say, you can't take, states, local municipalities can't take private funding of operating that needs to come from a state budget. Now, what I'm understanding is they're not saying you can't donate to the state, give money for that purpose, but the reality is you can't directly just go to the municipality and say, hey, we want to do this. So they're banning this. This is good news. North Carolina is kind of a big thing here. Alabama is the one leading the charge there of saying, look, we have to have safe, free and safe elections. And ultimately you can't have outside, because what happens is you can't have outside influences paying and then telling them how to use that money and what to use it on. that's what ultimately ended up happening. And they shut it down, but they're kind of still going about it in another manner, in another organization, too, per se. And in the fight for pro-life, something you need to be aware of. We talked about yesterday in noon prayer, Kentucky and Kansas, about how they are the two states, Kansas being the first, of putting an amendment vote before the people. But here in North Carolina, the governor has signed an order basically denying the implementation of a law that would ban abortion after 20 weeks. And basically it just says, with Roe v. Wade overturned, we're going to keep just the law as is. And this comes because he's a Democrat. You have a Democratic AG, so there's problems here. But I just want to say is, as we pray, whatever state you're in, understand, know the fight, know the legislatures, know their point here, because now we here in North Carolina have to pray, as Kansas, as Kentucky, as other states have to do now and in the days ahead for this fight. But just kind of given the landscape here of what is to come in the rest of this nation. And last thing, this is kind of our last point, we want to pray on this, is there is a case from North Carolina. We talked about this a little bit last week, about how the Supreme Court case that allows state representatives to basically uphold laws that an attorney general is not, because they do represent the state, will ultimately benefit those who want to uphold morality and legality in cases of voter ID and stuff. But the North Carolina has a case that has been accepted to be heard from the Supreme Court called Moore versus Harper, which would it has really huge repercussions for election regulation powers of state legislatures across the country, where it would say basically that activist judges and people in federal courts, and really state courts as well, don't have a right to determine what should happen with congressional maps and regulating power of elections within the state. As you're seeing going across like Louisiana, New York, Maine, North Carolina. And so what this case is saying is that, look, via the Constitution, the state legislatures, because that's what the Constitution says, that the states and the Senate and Congress within each state should be the ones making these decisions, not a court, that they're the ones who ultimately have the power. And so if this were to be upheld, like the EPA case, like the representation case that was heard out of North Carolina, it would ultimately uphold the founding principles of this nation, which is very clear, very, very clear, because the Constitution itself, Article 1, Section 4, says the time and place and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations, except as to the places of choosing senators. So, not talking about court systems, the Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Section 4, says it is up to the Senate and Congress of the state legislature. Period. Very clearly outlined what should happen. And so now the Supreme Court will hear this golden court case, and we want to pray for this, interceding for the justices to have wisdom and revelation from the Lord to clearly just uphold the freedoms and integrity of this nation, and specifically for this case, remember, it's Moore versus Harper, to determine who has the final oversight of election regulation powers within each state. This is huge for not only North Carolina, but also other states. And it may have some ramifications for what happened in Florida, as DeSantis kind of took action because of inaction by the state legislature. I'm not necessarily sure how that plays out there, but this would be good, as in North Carolina, Louisiana, and again, other states where these activist judges, and it would prevent activist judges from stepping in and saying, well, I don't like how that comes. I don't like how you do that. I don't think that's how it is. It's it's racist, blah, 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 whatever the reasoning is. It would prevent that, which would be a good thing, because you would then be able to hold legislatures accountable. Let's say, okay, they don't put a map that's favorable towards freedom. Okay, you can remove them from office the next election. And so this would be huge towards current and future elections, and really upholding the foundational principles that the Lord revealed to our founding fathers in the beginning of our country. And are we perfect? No. But there was very good wisdom that was given to our founding fathers about how to have the country operate. And so we want to be very thankful for that, but also pray and be aware of what's going on. So blessings to you guys. I want to end there. Again, no noon prayer today as we take our day of rest, but then we'll be back tomorrow, closing out the week and gearing up and for the battles to come, as next week we're starting to see Congress and the Senate in Washington, D.C. come back, and we'll see what topics as they're discussing today and the rest of this week about what they're going to be focusing on, and this administration as well. So blessings, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.